If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven, back with the I'm just a sinner saved by grace. How could I boast of anything I've ever seen or done? How could I dare to claim as mine the victories God has won? Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to stay. I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Condemned to death, He took my place. Now I grow and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, I'm loved and forgiven. Back with the living, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Now I grow and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, I'm loved and forgiven, back with the living. I'm just a sinner. Great.
Thank you, Brother Mike. We all come to Jesus the same way, don't we? And I praise the Lord that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is abundant for all of us sinners. And praise God that when He meets us, you know what? And we receive Him. We're no longer sinners, but saints. And I'm grateful for that. If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And as you're turning there, I want to say, if I'm a little out of sorts, it's only because I am. My wife has been gone for a little while, and I really depend on her for a lot of things, you know. And I thank the Lord for Sarah and Rebecca kind of helping me this morning with the little ones and last night. And they're a blessing to my heart. I thank God for them. But been just a little wanting to do everything just so, you know, so she doesn't worry. And I got to my mom and dad's, and the kids were there and totally unscathed. And, you know, I mean, no serious wounds on the body. And, you know, they'd been fed okay. And so I'm standing there talking to Phoebe, and she kind of did a little pirouette, and she turned around and fell flat on her face on the tile floor. And she had a goose egg that was standing out about that far on her head, and it was black and blue. And I thought, great. And I said, honey, you can't get a fever because I can't take you to the doctor like this. Everybody's going to think that your daddy's been working you over or something. So then, you know, that was okay. The next day we were there, and I was getting ready to leave mom and dad's, and she was chasing Timothy, and she ran head first into the back of the sofa, and there was the imprint on the other side of her forehead of their sofa fabric. And I thought, oh man, Linda needs to get home quick. She's going to think I'm working these kids over, you know. And it's funny, you know, whenever they get a boo-boo in mommy's home, they want daddy. But when daddy has them, guess who they want? It just doesn't seem fair, you know. But anyway, we're carrying on, and thank you for your prayers. And we're having fun with the little ones. It was good. They were at grandma and granddad's house, but they're happy to be in their own space now. Hebrews 13. Verse number 1, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By Him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Heavenly Father, I pray that in these next moments together, that our hearts would be attuned to what You are intending for us to glean from this passage of Scripture. I pray, Lord, that You would use me as a vessel of your mercy and grace to your people. Lord, I pray that if there be one in this room today that is uncertain of their eternal destiny, may today be the day of their salvation. And Lord, I pray above all that Jesus would be magnified, for we pray these things in His wonderful name. Amen. This morning, I want to bring you a message entitled, In Times Like These. Whenever you turn the news on, it seems like it's all negative, that we're living in a time that is rife with fear. And whenever you listen to what the world is saying, if you didn't know the Lord, you might be tempted to be afraid just a little bit. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's kind of a scary thought, really, to think that people all in about 2 weeks' period of time have seen retirement incomes obliterated. It's kind of a scary thing to know that companies that employed tens and some hundreds of thousands of people are insolvent. It's kind of a scary thing on the face of it to know that we have a world of people from globally running around like chickens with their heads cut off trying to figure out what in the world to do about it. And there are uncertain sounds wherever you dial in. In the midst of all of this, there are other issues at work, although I think the American people somehow think the only thing that's going on is that we're in an economic crisis. But I want to tell you what's worse than the economic crisis that we're in. We're in a moral crisis in our country that spawned the economic crisis. Because of no control, no self-control, an incontinent and a licentious society caused men and women to do things that they couldn't pay for, to make decisions that were not sound because of a moral issue. And it spawned a crisis of international proportions. I believe that morally our country is headed for hell in a handbasket. I think about what Paul said in Romans chapter 9 and in Romans chapter 10, that he said, Beloved, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said that if it were possible for him to be accursed for his kinsmen after the flesh so that they might be saved, he would. And you know, I want you to understand something, that there are many in this room today who fought on foreign soil to defend liberty and ideals that